I want to welcome everyone here today. Appreciate you coming out on this beautiful day. And see, this is Michigan winter, and it should be normal to us, right? And I would rather for it to just get cold, stay cold until spring, warm up, and not put up with the colds and not getting used to the cold. And you know what I'm saying? Because I can wear a light jacket after it's been cold for a while, and I'm comfortable. But the way it is now, I got to put on a heavier coat all the time. So anyway, enjoy Michigan winters. They're beautiful. Look at all of our motels. They're all full. All the slat rats and snowmobilers and everybody are up here to enjoy our beautiful Michigan winter in the north. So we are privileged. We live here. And it's the same in the summer. Did you notice that? All the people that are south come to Michigan because it's too hot down there. They come up here and enjoy our summers. Oh, God is so good. And, you know, we just really need to, just kind of buckle down on what the Word says. Is the Word real? Is it true? I mean, really, is it? Or do we just read it, sounds good, and we're supposed to believe it, so therefore it must be true? But I think it needs to be more than that to us. Folks, the Word to us should be so real, more real than something that's in our hand, because God said, and He's not a God that can lie. So I kind of look at the Bible as, God, You said, and You didn't lie about it. So I trust You. So I want you to look at me. I know you've heard this a lot. I know that when I was called to minister, the Lord actually gave me this verse. And I had a dear lady in church that explained a lot of that to me and said different things about it, of how hard ministry was going to be and how a lot of times people wouldn't like what you say and all this kind of stuff. But she said, you've got to really trust the Lord in it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I love this. I use it a lot. God has made this so real in my life. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 then states this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He'll make your path straight by trusting in the Lord. Not with some of your heart, not with most of your heart, but with all of your heart. Let me pray. Father, we ask that, Lord, that You would just help us really to understand Your Word, that it's not just words, it's not just good things being said, but rather, Lord, it's truth, and it's very real. And so I ask now, Lord, that You would just, by Your Holy Spirit, open our hearts to where we can receive Your Word, Lord, in such a way that it would change our lives forever. That we would learn truly to just trust in You, regardless of what things look like or what people say or even what we think. But Lord, that we'd just realize, Lord, that You're for us and not against us. That You're a good God and You care so much for us. And you will deliver us from evil, from harm, for what the enemy has planned against us. So we just thank you, Lord, that we can trust and that you are indeed trustworthy. So Father, I thank you. Bless your word this morning and your people as we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this passage here emphasizes the importance of trusting God completely and seeking his guidance in every aspect of our lives. So trusting in the Lord with all of our heart, this encourages all of us believers to place our confidence and trust in God, relying on his wisdom and goodness, rather than on our own limited understanding. You know, the thing is, I a lot of times want things. No, it's true, I do. And you know, do you ever notice that sometimes when you get it, you wonder why you wanted it? Of course, I don't do that very often. But it's true. And it can be good things, and we think it's just the greatest and the best, and I've got to have it, and that's the way it's got to be. And, you know, and we seek it out, and then finally we get it. And we're like, God, forgive me. I wished I didn't have it now. But see, that's how our understanding goes about things, because we only know a little bit. See, God sees the beginning to the end. He knows everything in between. And what we've got to do is trust him with it. Lord, I trust you. I know what I want, but that's flesh. And I, most of the time, folks, we don't even know what's good for us. And so we got to learn to just kind of give everything to the Lord. So, Lord, we trust you. I trust you in. I don't understand it. I think this is the best, but Lord, I want what you want. Because you know what's best and what would be good for me and not harmful in any way. So trusting in God involves our faith and our faith in his character. And his plans for us. It means surrendering our worries. The thing is, most Christians have learned we don't worry, right? We do not, we're concerned about things, but we're not worried because that's wrong, right? So we're just concerned. We're not afraid, we're just cautious. So we need to surrender our worries and our fears to God and patiently believing and trusting that he knows what is best for us. I don't know if any of us like that word, patiently. Patiently believing and trusting that he knows what is best for us. Would you look at Deuteronomy with me? Deuteronomy chapter 8. You know, the church here kind of reminds me of when the Israelites were freed out of captivity from Egypt. Remember that? So over 400 years, they were slaves. And God then got a hold of Moses and prepared him and then sent him back to lead the people out. And all, and there was a lot of work that was involved in doing that as well. All the plagues and stuff that came down on Egypt that convinced them. But in Deuteronomy 8, this is while they're out of their captivity, no longer slaves. So in verse 2 and 3, it says this. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. He says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness." And the reason he did this for 40 years was to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart. Do you ever notice how when you're stressed, things are going on? Do you ever notice the things that sometimes comes out of your heart? It's like, ooh, why did I say that? Why did I do that? See, the Lord allows things because he knows what's in our heart. But he wants to show us what's in our heart. See, there's usually things in there that need to really be dealt with. But he says, I've taken you through the wilderness experience. He said, I did it to humble you and to test you. I wanted you to see what was in your heart. To know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, fed you with manna. See, he still takes care of us. Which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. You know, we can have our plans and our focus and work so hard towards it, and things happen. Did you ever notice how things just happen? But it comes back, what are you going to do with those things that just happen? You see, the Bible says in John 10:10, it says that the enemies come to steal, kill, and destroy. We have an enemy out there that does not like us well. But the rest of that verse says this, but Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. But see, how do we get that life when things happen, when the world, when life happens? How do we deal with that? And the Lord says, to realize that man does not live by bread alone. See, we can't make things happen all the time, and maybe even the right way, or that it would even last. But the Lord says, who are you relying on? Where's your dependence? Is it on you've got such a good job? Or you've got everything paid for now, so then you can just sit back and relax and take it. He says, you can't rely on anything on this world. But he's saying we have to learn to trust him in all of it. So when life happens, rather than us cave and wondering, Lord, what are we to do? And then we focus, it seems, a lot of times just on the negatives with it, when we should be keeping our eyes on Jesus. And that's why he says, trust me. Trust me. I know what's going to happen here. Will you give me a right to defend you, to bring you through this, to take care of this issue in your life? Or do we normally go back to, what am I going to do? Lord, we tried. We're serving you. Lord, we even go to church now. And all of this is happening. Do you really care? What's going on? I didn't have this much trouble when I wasn't a Christian. See, the Lord says we've got to learn to really trust Him in everything. And He says with all of our heart. This is so important, and a lot of times we don't see it. We don't understand it. Look with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, and verse 12. And he says this, Peter writes, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." And then it goes on to say, "But," mine says rejoice. Have I got the wrong translation here? Does yours say rejoice? Okay, oh, I thought maybe I had the wrong translation here. "But rejoice in a fiery trial," believe it or not. He says, "Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." But folks, that's learning how to just lean on God. To really lean on trusting Him and not what we think or what we feel or even what others might say. Now, part two of the verse that we read, it says, "Lean not on our own understanding." This part warns against relying solely on our own reasoning, our insights. Human understanding is often flawed and limited, while God's wisdom is perfect and infinite. It encourages us to see God's perspective and guidance, especially in difficult or even confusing situations. James encourages us. He says, he encourages us believers to take an unusual perspective on trials, seeing them as opportunities. Folks, we had an issue with our lift out here, our elevator. And I see stuff like that as an opportunity. I see needs and hurts and situations that people have around me. I see them as opportunities. You know, I dropped Charlene off at Myers the other day. And while I'm sitting there waiting, there was this young guy. He was in his 30s, I guess. I seen him at the trash can. You know, they got trash cans on the left side and the right side of the entrance of Meyer. And I seen him digging through the trash. And he had some stuff pulled out and sitting on top of it. And then he walked around to the other side and he looked in there and here was a McDonald's bag. Pulled that out and opened it up and it's like, oh, they didn't finish it. So he set it on top, and then he looked more in the bag, and there were French fries. Who can pass up French fries, right? And so he pulled them out, and then he sat there, and he began to eat the fries and eat the whatever it was that was in there, a leftover hamburger or whatever. And I seen an opportunity. So I used that opportunity and I was even able to say to him, I said, "You know, God loves you." I said, "He knows what it is to be and have hard times. So I said, God bless you. You see, I look for opportunities not just to tell him all of that, which would have been almost a slap in the face if you didn't do something, wouldn't it? I'd almost tell you, I said, why don't you just keep what you're thinking to yourself? I don't need you. But you see, I seen an opportunity to bless, to meet somebody's need, and then to be able to speak to him. And he looked at me when I talked to him, and he said, thank you. And I just walked away. See, now it's between him and God. What does God want to show him? Is there something maybe that he was lacking in his life, and maybe God used this as an opportunity to say, hey, I do care for you. Yes, you're in hard times now, but I've not forgotten you. Or maybe I should have listened to my grandmother or my mom. Maybe I should go back to church. You see, I don't know. That's God's business. I just do my part. I've seen an opportunity. You know, I tell you all these things, and I just wished I was perfect. You know what I mean? That'd be so much better if I was perfect, and I'd tell you these things, and, you know, you could say, oh, my, he's just right next to God. Well, I'm going to tell you, I sometimes miss opportunities and fail miserably, as my wife. But I do what I can, and I'm so thankful when God shows me an opportunity. Otherwise, I'd probably miss it or wouldn't even care. So James encourages us. How about when Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery? He didn't get angry, and we heard that in our lesson downstairs. You see, Joseph realized that what others intended for our harm, God uses it for good. We're going to look at mistreatment down there and people that do us wrong today downstairs. So what do we do with it? You know, bad things happen to good people. I think you realize that by now, right? But what do we do with it? Do we get angry and quit? Or do we say, God, I love you and I trust you? I don't understand what's going on or why. But Lord, I know that I can grow from it. Because I'm not going to be hurt, discouraged, and give up, Lord. I'm going to just trust you. And putting it all in your hands. And I'm continuing on. Doesn't matter what other people think of me. Hurts. But Lord, I want to know what you think of me. That's what's important to me. And so you are the one that I'm going to trust. So hope and trust empowers believers to endure trials and challenges. Romans 5, chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. That's Romans 5, 3 through 5. Tells us this. It says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Wow. Knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Trials, tests, strengthen our faith, produces patience, perseverance. Think of a long-distance runner who endures rigorous training, knowing that each trial enhances and stamina for the race ahead. In a spiritual sense, difficult times build character and reliance on God. Amen? It does. It should draw us closer, folks, and give us strength. That's why God allows a lot of this. So another part of what we read in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, in all your ways, then, just submit to him. Submitting to God means acknowledging his authority, seeking his will in every area of our lives, our decisions, relationships, and actions. You know, folks, this all involves prayer, seeking counsel from Scripture, and being open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Romans 5, 1 through 5 says this. That is Romans 5, 1 through 5. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, peace with God is really good to have. There's a lot of people, I'm sorry to say, that think that God is mad at them. He's angry at them. He doesn't really care for them. They're just not good enough. And that's not true. So peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Folks, don't ever forget, no matter how big or hard or hot that fiery trial gets and the pain that it brings, never, ever doubt God or forget that he is faithful. Everyone else may walk away from you, push you away, forget you, and not care about you. And because of the trials, sometimes they think it's God condemning you. You need to realize, my God is faithful because I trust in him. And that's where I'll stand. And you need to shut your mind off. That's the enemy just trying to talk to you, to condemn you, put you down, discourage you. But don't let him have his way. Realize God is always faithful. And another part of 3, 5, and 6. He will make your path straight. This promise assures us that when we trust and submit to God, he will guide us and remove obstacles from our paths. It signifies clarity and direction in our lives. It encourages believers to have confidence that God will lead them in the right direction when they seek Him. If we don't, it will take much longer to get where we need to be. Isn't that encouraging? You know, it's kind of like the Israelites. Y'all know from Egypt to the Promised Land, for that group of people with all their livestock and everything, to make that trip from slavery to the Promised Land would have taken them anywhere from maybe 11 days to 14 days. But since they couldn't trust God, didn't know how to, because of where they were and were not really taught that much, they didn't know how to trust God. They didn't know how to seek God and get a straighter direction. It took them over 40 years to go what would have only taken them 14 days at best. How about us? Folks, a lot of us have been traveling a lot of years just to get where we're at now. So do you see why it's so important to learn to trust God, to seek His face, to put up with the trials and all the garbage that's going on around us and just keep our eyes focused on Him and trusting Him with all of our heart? Folks, it's so important. A lot of times we read things in the Bible and it's just words. But it all has true meaning and we've got to grasp it. We've got to get a hold of, hold on, and never let go, no matter what happens. A lot of times when I'm weak, my wife is strong. And she'll encourage me. And there's other times where maybe she'll be weak and I'm stronger. But we're never both weak at the same time. And that's from God. So we need each other. And that's why it's important to have a church body that we go to and we worship and fellowship with. And we should be ones to always encourage one another. Don't ever join in with somebody else's pain. Encourage them. Love on them. But don't get in a ditch with them, because that doesn't help them. You got to love them through. Grab a hold of them and say, hey, let's pray. And pray the love of God on them, that He'd give them understanding, that He would touch their heart and show them that He cares and that He truly loves them with all of His heart. Folks, do we understand how much God really loves us? Do you know He gave His only Son to be ridiculed, cussed at, beaten, stripped down, nailed to a cross, just for us, because He loved us so much? It was the only way that God could seal that gap between us and Him, to deal with that sin. So He sent Jesus. And so what we need to do to be saved is simply say, Jesus, come into my life. I receive You into my heart. Lord, save me. And then He makes us right with God. See, we didn't do anything to earn it. He did it all. We just receive. That's why we don't have to measure up to anything. The Lord just says, trust me. And trust me with all of your heart. Realize that I really love you. And no one can steal it. My love from you. Oh, there, you could probably walk away from it. See, we still have free will. But I'm telling you, the price has been paid. We don't have to earn it. All we have to do is be willing to receive it. And we can receive God's deliverance from our pain, our hurt, the fiery trials, the tribulations, the things going on. It says to pray and seek the word for direction. A lot of times we just pray and we just keep doing what we're doing. And it's like, no, sometimes we have to change. See, we need to learn to be obedient. Lord, I trust you so I can be obedient. I'll do what you say. I may not understand. Doesn't matter. Lord, your word says, and so therefore I'm willing to be obedient. Then God can work in your life. But see, we've got to do it according to God's word. We think we can live in the world and do all the sin and the garbage that's going on in the world and think it's okay. I believe in Jesus, so there's no issues. There's no problem. And it's like, I think you're confused. And we're not walking and doing what the Bible says to earn anything from God. Let me tell you that. But folks, there's some roads I don't want to drive my car on because there's so many potholes. So I might go an extra mile just so I don't have to beat my car to pieces. And that's the same way. I can do my own thing, but folks, there's a lot of potholes in my things. If I do it God's way, the road is a whole lot smoother. So God gives us these rules and directions to help us, not to hurt us. Well, I don't know if you understood any of this, but it sure helped me. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So anyway, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 encourages believers to trust God completely, to seek his guidance, and to submit to his will in all aspects of life. So pray with me if you would. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, help us to truly understand your love for us. And Lord, that we can trust you no matter what happens, no matter what goes on, Lord, that we can trust you, for you're faithful. You are faithful to all of us. So Lord, draw us into your word, to your knowledge, to your understanding, that our lives could be a whole lot easier with a whole lot less problems. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for your love and your faithfulness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read this blessing over you, and when I'm finished here, we are dismissed. Please, if you've not come down and listened to any of this, come on down and join us, okay? We have a good time down there. So usually I have some pretty good snacks down there, too. Lunch. All right. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We receive it in Jesus' name. Lloyd will be here in the front. So if you want some prayer, I want to tell you, I go to this guy Sunday mornings and I get his prayers. And I want to tell you, he hears from God, and he prays good prayers over you.